Hello, hello. And I didn't expect that photo of myself asleep. My name is Christian and I'm very much not asleep. And welcome to episode 223 of Millennial Movie Talk.
Nope.
No. 222.
Nope.
Nope.
No. Which episode is it?
Six.
226.
Episode six of Millennial Movie Talk.
Look, this is a great intro and it's totally not Alex's fault for dropping a zinger during the intro.
Yeah.
Like, was that a
millisecond before we cut to the live cameras?
Were you laughing?
So yeah, a little bit. So this is Millennial Movie Talk. I'm your host, Christian. I'm joined by the beautiful Mr. Alex.
Hello.
And the beautiful Brayden.
I thought you were going to say Brayden because I'm used to Brayden being
hello.
Beautiful Brayden.
How are we all?
I'm good.
We were enjoying a pre-recording of the show, just watching Alex playing a bit of Baldur's Gate 3, because Christian's been playing Baldur's Gate 3, and then that's spread through the group like wildfire. And
we all own it now, don't we?
I'm purchasing it tonight. So,
we're all getting our
Baldur's Gate on.
So Chris has been, he's going to get his check in the mail from Larian Studios, and he's done a great job of spreading the word for that.
I was already thinking about getting it though, so don't give this all to Chris.
True, you the other week had almost bought it without thinking. So
well, yes, and then I ended up buying it with thinking.
There you go. That's better.
And now I've played 24 and a half hours of it.
You know, and what I did is I finally sold off the rest of my CS:GO inventory. Left over from all those days, all those matches, you know. Never bought a case, just all drops. Now they're worth $4 each, and they bought me Baldur's Gate.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, even though Counter-Strike is dead now, it's lived on in that
way. Is CS2, so is that bad? Is that really bad?
I haven't played it yet, but from what I've heard, the release was dog shit. They essentially disabled CS:GO, released an unfinished CS:GO 2, that's unoptimized, unfinished, and has less features.
So that's what I really hate when they do that. Instead of just releasing a new game and letting you keep the old game, they just update, like they did with Overwatch and Overwatch 2.
Yep. Yeah. Do you know what they did do, though, Alex? Is Valve made a shit ton of money on skin sales.
Oh my god, I bet.
So
holy crap.
Hats off to Valve. Game, isn't it? You know, they're running their company like a business.
They're making that money. They releasing a new Steam Deck. They're all about it.
Are they?
Yeah. They basically just took the original Steam Deck and went, we're going to make this a bit better, and then we're going to charge the same amount for it. That's
not surprising.
Cool. But yeah, it's a fun time over here. But we managed to get everyone away from the screen to playing Baldur's Gate 3 to record an episode of Little Movie Talk because there's TV shows and movies to talk about. The actor's strike is done, so we can like really talk about stuff, and things are being promoted again. I'm seeing like Timothy Chalamet on SNL. It's a great time seeing people actually be able to promote their films again.
Yes, everyone's favorite industry is now back up and running.
Yeah, it's almost like they make billions of dollars and they go, hey, nah, let's staff some people.
What happened is the strikers, they succeeded in intimidation check, and you know, the big companies,
they failed a lot of intimidation.
They failed their saving throws.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, we're finally here.
God, are we just talking Baldur's Gate all night?
Movies are back and TV shows are back.
And this is a movie and TV show podcast.
Yeah.
It's not a gaming podcast. It
feels good to not feel bad about talking about movies and TV shows anymore. Because there was a while there where I was like, I feel kind of bad, but
I don't.
Nah, I just like talking with you guys. So that's the main thing. Bless.
So movies.
We need to talk about the biggest movie news of the week.
The Garfield.
Chris Pratt in Garfield.
Oh my god, he's in Garfield. Wait, I didn't know this.
Have you not seen this, Chris?
I didn't know about this.
Oh.
Should we watch it here?
Yeah, bring it up so Chris can see it.
Everyone knows Garfield is Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Garfield hates Mondays.
Well, he's no longer Bill Murray, he's Mario.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, there's parts of the trailer that I actually kind of, like, I didn't like, but I liked in the sense that they were actually, like, paying homage to, like, the, like, old comics. Like, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, they've really they've gone, what if we really took Garfield style and minionified it?
Of course.
Yeah. I can't say I'm excited for it, eh?
Yeah.
I love Chris Pratt's Monday because he's just Mondays. Like, well, I've been Mario. Fuck it. I'll be Garfield. Yep.
I'm pretty sure they announced him being Garfield like a month after he got announced as Mario too.
It was like around the same time. It was ridiculous.
All right. Are we going to click play?
Go through it a bit.
We'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We'll have a look.
Whose is it? Are we going to get in trouble for this?
Probably. We won't get in trouble, but they'll try to take whatever money they can, which is none.
Sucked in, whoever's company this is. Oh, that's loud.
Is it loud?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's loud.
How's that?
Oh, Sony. Okay, Sony's fine. They have enough money.
We like animated. Better? Animated John looks good.
Yeah, this intro bit, I was watching this today, and this intro bit goes for a solid minute.
How's the sound now?
It's good. It's just soft piano, so it's not too bad.
Garfield origin story? We're getting it?
Yeah. It's the gritty origin story where we see his parents die and he takes up a life fighting crime.
Oh, and John's lonely.
Do we know who the voice of John is?
I don't know. We can look that up.
I'm going to look that up as we watch this.
They're totally going to flip this to him being lazy lasagna eater, right?
Oh, Chris, you know you're Garfield.
He doesn't like Mondays.
There we go.
There it is. I like Anderson .Paak. That was the one joke that made me laugh when I first watched it.
I'm going to say this, though. It sounds less like Chris Pratt than Mario did.
Yeah. I like Samuel Jackson.
I definitely like the animation.
This is just a thing to get your cat in promotional material. Yeah. I like the shot that's specifically like the at the desk or at the table, like the four panels back. Now go towards the end when they're sitting at their kitchen table. Like you'll find it. You'll get there.
Wait, like here?
A little bit. But like the one where it's just Garfield, it looks like a Garfield panel from a Garfield strip. Like I like that.
Like this?
Yeah. It's keeping the form factor.
That you mean this.
That specifically.
Yeah, okay.
That is 100% Garfield. I'll give him that. But yeah, it looks fine. It could be fine. It could be absolute hot garbage.
Like I said, Chris Pratt doesn't look that it's not as bad as Mario Chris Pratt.
Still a little pratted out.
We're all pratted out.
That's not who I was expecting as the voice of John.
Who is it?
Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt is John.
Yeah.
Wow. Now just remind me who that is.
You watched the menu.
Yes.
He's the guy who's
the main guy
who takes the date.
Ah, yes.
Tyler. So the cast is Hannah Waddingham.
Know his character's name from the menu.
Hannah Waddingham is Rebecca in Ted Lasso. Is also in it.
Oh, okay.
Ving
oh,
Rhames, yeah. We love her. It.
We love her.
Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent is in it as well. So we got some Ted Lasso reunions.
Weird Ted Lasso crossover.
And then Bowen Yang. I recognize Bowen Yang the name Bowen Yang, but
bless. Okay, but yeah, that's like the realize. That's like Bowen. The main bit of movie news that I've seen recently.
Garfield.
Yep, that's it. That's all I've seen.
Not the Inside Out 2 trailer.
Oh, I forgot about the I forgot about the good trailer that we got.
Chris, did you like Inside Out?
Yeah, I liked Inside Out.
Very sad. Well, here we go. We've got a trailer reaction episode.
Inside Out hit me at such a time in my teenage years where I was dealing with like depression and anxiety, and Inside Out hit me so close to home. And if Inside Out 2, based on this trailer, had come out when I was in that year like bracket as well, I think I just would have been a mess.
Yeah, I can't do Inside Out when is it like Bing Bong the clown when he sacrificed himself?
Fucking Bing Bong.
Take it to the moon.
I can't do it.
Get to the moon.
Take it to the moon. Take it to the moon for me.
Let's give it another try.
Oh, he's so good.
All right, let's watch this trailer.
He's beautiful.
Let me know how the sound is.
Oh, loud for me at least.
Loud for everyone.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, hey, remember that first movie that you liked?
But this is called a sequel.
I do like that they're finally addressing the end credits teaser from the first film.
Is this like the teenage crew stepping in?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What a song choice.
No.
I really like it. I like Maya Hawke as Anxiety. That's great.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, she's perfect for that role.
Who is it? Is Anxiety? There's a couple more. There's Anxiety.
I think there's Depression.
Yeah. Well, no, that might be too far.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't think Depression's one of them.
Oh God, I'm trying to remember.
Plus, it doesn't exist. I mean,
what a oof. Teenage things.
If they don't somehow kind of coyly address horniness,
yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is lust gonna be an emotion? Yeah.
That would there's be four. Interesting.
There's four. Yeah, they are under here.
Oh, okay. What we got? Oh, that guy on the right looks. Oh, maybe they're like emo.
Yeah. I wonder if they're.
Yeah, they look like a goth.
Okay, there's going to be like a like counterculture one. What would you call that emotion?
Oh.
Resist.
Resist the parents.
Rebel. It'd be rebel or something.
Oh, rebel. That's good. Yeah, I'm very, I'm looking forward to it. Inside Out's one of my favorites. It's a great
okay.
One.
Embarrassment, envy.
Okay. Embarrassment and envy and anxiety, and something else.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I hate these articles that are just like, we're going to write a bunch of shit that you don't care about.
Including fucking AI generated. What's this? Dissatisfaction. Inu.
Okay.
Did you know what that means?
That's what that goth one would be.
Right. Right. I think this one, I think it runs through what they are.
Okay. But
anxious.
But seriously,
envious,
how are they
inu,
not?
Embarrassment. Yeah, okay.
How are they not doing any kind of commentary on your like your hormones going mental?
I guess
they will.
They have to, yeah, wait a little bit. So just begun to be a teenager.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's just like, hey, 13. It's like,
yeah, yeah. Ugh. It'll just be, there's no way to do
we
that.
We can't sexualize Riley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bless. Yeah, that
we'll start out three when she's 18, then we're good.
It's nice to see Disney projects that are addressing how people's bodies change.
Yeah.
Bless. But it does look good.
And Brayden, did you watch the Last Airbender trailer?
No. Oh, God.
Okay. I know Chris has seen that one.
This would be for the Netflix?
Yeah, the live action show.
I'm excited.
Oh.
Chris is very excited.
Okay. Well, I mean,
do you want to see it?
I really liked One Piece.
Yeah, you
know, I don't know if there's any crossover between teams or anything.
All right, Brad. It's the last one we'll do. We'll do a three-peat.
All right, and then we'll get into what we've actually watched this past week.
Well, this is news. We don't do this.
It's rare we do news, and it's nice to actually be able to talk about news without feeling bad.
Yeah.
Can I just put you down there? No, I need this one.
Here we go. Avatar, The Last Airbender. It's the meteor.
They still should have done earth, water, fire. That would have got me in.
Yeah. Okay, that looks nice. Ooh. Cool. Aw.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Oh, that looked good.
Yeah, actually making the Kyoshi Warriors a thing.
Yeah.
Not just ignoring their existence.
This is looking cool. That is a bold child.
The child is bold.
That is a very bold child.
It's always going to look weird, right?
It'll never not look weird.
Upper Momo looks so good.
Whoa! Momo looks great! Okay, I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
It does look good.
I hope they stick the landing. That looked good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. These actors need to be a very high caliber to play off some of these roles. Iroh specifically, I'm looking at. He's got to be
his beard was glorious.
Iroh has to knock it out of the park.
He looks great.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm in. I look forward to that. What, February?
Do we have February soon?
Do we have a time for Inside Out?
I believe there is. I think it might be summer next year.
And no one gives a fuck when Garfield's out.
Garfield's
cool.
Also summer next year.
I did see a thing where James Gunn was like, even with all the strikes and everything, Superman's still on schedule, which is pretty impressive and crazy.
Yeah, interesting.
So we'll see how that goes as well.
Do you reckon, because he's probably writing Superman, do you reckon he just did it secretly while the strikes are on? He just...
I mean, I would hope not, but I also wouldn't put it past him.
What's stopping him? Nothing really, isn't it?
Yeah. I did like the tweet from the Stranger Things team. The second the strike was done, they shared a tweet of them starting writing.
Mm. That's good.
But that show is going to come out in 3 years.
I know, and they're going to have to write for such a big time jump.
Those kids are going to look 45. Well,
those kids
good,
are not kids.
Yeah.
They kind of ended that show with somewhere where they could do a time jump for the final season.
Yeah. If they're they're kind of living in, they're either living away from Hawkins or Hawkins has become this post-apocalyptic town.
Hey, just do it chapter two. Come back in 20 years.
Yeah. Oh, they just recast everyone? Holy shit.
Yeah. No. Wait 20 years.
Oh, okay. No, that would actually be a boss move.
Wouldn't that be sick? But at the same time,
Netflix would be pissed.
It would be sick, but what if one of them died?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, what if you committed to 10 years of an actor playing a villain for a franchise and then they got into legal trouble?
Ooh.
And on that note, Loki season 2 just wrapped up, and I watched all of it, and I really
I saw the last episode. I can't say I watched every episode of Loki season 2 because
that's fair. That's very fair.
Has anyone seen the Marvels yet?
Not yet. I'm seeing it this
week.
That's
so funny that no one's seen the Marvels.
I feel bad because I actually want to see it and I just haven't yet.
Why?
Why?
Because I like characters.
I've seen people go. I saw a video today of this guy going, "Oh, Quantumania was one of the worst fucking movies I've ever seen." And then, like, next one, it jumps to Guardians 3, and he's like, "All right, Marvel, Guardians 3 was great. We're back. Here we are. We're doing good." They're like, "Let's keep this stuff coming." Secret, and then cuts to Secret Invasion. He goes, "That was one of the worst fucking shows I've ever seen in my life." Then it cut to Loki season 2. "All right, Marvel, we're doing it. We're back. Everything's great. We're going. Let's go." And then it cuts to the Marvels, and he's just like, "Fuck."
That's funny. That is funny. No, I am looking forward to the Marvels. I'll talk about it next week when I've seen it.
Can we talk about Marvel? I know you want to talk about Loki.
Yeah, so we are talking about Marvel, so go for it.
Yep. Okay. Can they just
stop?
Take a time?
Yeah.
Like, I think they need to take a time out, regroup, maybe do a binge watch of the MCU, take notes.
Yep.
See what worked in the beginning. And go back to formula.
Is it perhaps time to stop? As many as
well. It also annoys me. When did Disney buy Fox?
So, that's been in the works for a while.
But just release it. Just do something with it.
We've been really looking at the repercussions of when
2019
when Bob Iger left Disney and the new person came in and basically went up to Kevin Feige and was like, "You need to do 8 shows right now, and you need to plan an entire another 10 years of Marvel."
That's what annoys me.
Is not a healthy way to do that.
Someone said, "All right, this is what we're going to do. Marvel, you've got to go to only 3 movies a year and 3 shows a year." And I'm just like, that's too much.
That's still too much.
That's still too much.
So many. Too quickly.
Do 2 movies a year and 1 bitchin' TV show.
Yeah, or even 2 shows a year and 1 movie.
Oh, that'd be... I would like that, actually. Yeah, I'd like that.
Well, because it's just not working the way it is. They're spreading everything way too thin.
Yeah.
And we're getting shit.
They're just flooded. Yeah. I feel like it's just flooded with shit.
It is.
It's just too much at once.
It's oversaturation.
Yeah. They could have done real good shit.
Little bit of shit, you've got, like, Guardians 3.
Sorry.
What they're doing is like there'll maybe be 1 in 5 at the moment that, or 1 in 4, that's like of quality.
Yeah,
like Guardians 3, or maybe Loki season 2.
Like I'd say really half good. Of Loki season 2.
Yeah, that are really good.
Yeah,
the rest, like did anyone here watch Secret Invasion? I heard it was shit.
No, I watched the first episode, and then when I finished the first episode, after us saying, "Man, that looked like AI." And then it was.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a second of that TV show.
Yeah, I.
What was AI made?
The entire intro sequence.
Okay.
And they were very open about it.
Yeah. So that, and also
then
the
I heard
shit.
The show was also really bad.
I'm gonna be honest. I never finished Ms. Marvel. I thought it was great, and then it just dropped completely downhill.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel, it's a mixed bag. I like it because Iman Vellani is perfect.
That's what it is. It's like, that's what I've... The only thing I've heard about the Marvels, that the Marvels is shit, but she's great.
Yeah, that's
And that everyone keeps talking about these post-credit scenes, which I know what they are. Do you know what it...
No, I don't know what they are yet.
That everyone's getting excited. I'm just like, Marvel's just going to do their bullshit. They're going to say they're going to introduce this, but it's going to be in a different universe, and it's never going to really... Like, multiverse is cool, but fuck, there's no stakes in multiverse.
No, yeah. Not at all.
And that's why it's not great.
Yeah, it's...
Unless Invincible does it.
Unless Invincible, which we'll talk about in a second. But to bring us back into track a little bit, season 2 of Loki wrapped up. I watched the first 2 episodes of it, and then I completely forgot that it existed. And then I watched... Episode 3, 4, and 5, and I was like, okay, I'm back on board, like, I'm into it. And then I watched episode 6, the finale, as, well, like, the couple days after it released. And I really, really liked season two of Loki. It was really enjoyable. It got real fucking weird in a really enjoyable way. They do that thing where, like, you're dealing with stuff that's on such a large scale where you go, this is, like, it's just stupid. And then they lean into it and go, yes, exactly. And we're going to make that work. And so you get really fun time travel stuff. You get really fun, like, montages, I'll say. And where Loki ends up at the end, I feel like it's a perfect spot to just leave Loki now in the background. Like, we don't need a Loki season 3 anytime soon.
They're not doing it.
I hope, yeah, good.
Cause they said it's the end. It's kind of like a Andor thing where it's like a part one, part two. Like, that's it. They're not doing. Good. Even Tom Hiddleston said he's not coming back.
I'm happy with that, because where Loki ends up at the end of this is perfect for Loki. Mm. As this, like, slight spoilers, as this basically god of stories, that's perfect for the Loki that we had developed across this show and across, like, the later MCU movies, where Loki stopped being a villain and started becoming a hero. For this to be where he ends up on his throne that he didn't even want but took on as his responsibility. He got a sick new outfit and powers out the wazoo. And, I really enjoyed it. The supporting cast is really good. Owen Wilson's always a blast. I've just noticed there's an extra I in my last name. And that's fun. But Alex, where? If you can fix that. I don't know how that got there. I really enjoyed Loki season 2. If people have been waiting for it to all come out, or were thinking, I'm a bit over it. But if you watched Loki season 1, I think it's worth watching Loki season 2. Just for the end of that story. I really like where it ends up. And I'm happy for Tom Hiddleston and the crew. And in that weird vein, Jonathan Majors is really good in this show, and it's so weird because you're watching it going,
we don't know yet if he's an asshole.
We don't know. And, like, it's up in the air, but him as Victor Timely and then him returning for the more complicated things of He Who Remains. Thank you very much, Alex. I appreciate you fixing that. I really enjoyed his performance. He's a really good actor, and it's really annoying because it's just like, I don't know how to feel about him. So, yeah, that's fun. I thought they really put Sylvie on the back seat in this one, but she had a really major role.
I'm okay with that.
She had a really major role in the first one, and I believe the actress was also pregnant for a lot of the filming of Loki season 2 as well.
Also, Sylvie just wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, she's one of those characters where she was so stuck in her way and she wasn't willing to budge on her view at all, which inevitably did end up being the thing that needed to happen for the rest of everything to happen. But,
and you know, she's a woman.
It's not enjoyable. Wow, Alex, Jesus.
Sorry, I thought that was just good to throw that in.
That's going to make the YouTube commenters happy for that
that's
line.
That's so funny. That was a joke, by the way.
That's how you get them.
JK Rowling.
And Jesus. And speaking of JK Simmons, he is in a show called Invincible. And
not this episode, man.
Not this episode. No, I wouldn't know. I completely forgot that Invincible season 2 episode 1 came out, and I was like, shit, that was a really good episode of TV. I can't wait for Invincible season 2. Completely forgot about it this week. So I want you to fill me in. What happened in Invincible season 2 episode 2, and was it good?
Chris, as the non-comic man, what did you think of the episode?
I liked it. Look, not many huge things going on. Bit of building up to a few things, I think, you know. Invincible is back in the field. He has a nice little adventure in the undersea world.
Undersea world adventure? Because in the comics, it's very much what they tell Mark it is. Like, okay. the whole fact that the marriage isn't true, that's different from the comic. In the comic, he's meant to go there and wed her.
I could take or leave the undersea fight and sequence. It was a bit funny when the queen came and told him that she's not marrying him.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, I like anyone yelling trial by combat.
Just love those words. That's always fun.
But, that bit was fine. I liked, there was a lot of attention on Debbie.
Big Debbie, yep.
Yeah, Big Debbie, yep. And, look, I haven't seen the last season in a while, but yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, she's going through a lot as well.
that's something that the comic really didn't do a lot of, was focus a lot on Debbie.
Yeah.
Because Debbie essentially, like, think about what happens to her. She even loses Mark, not in the sense that she lost Nolan, but like Mark at this time, he is going off and being a superhero all the time. He's also going to college now. Yeah. So he's not even going to be home.
And she didn't just lose Nolan. Nolan, like,
she made
fun of her entire existence. Like,
it's
degraded her
of,
entire existence.
It's not like your partner died. It's like your partner was like, hey, I'm leaving you. I actively, like, despise you as what you are.
Yeah.
And you mean nothing to me.
You've just been, like, a little side quest for a little bit. And I don't really care.
Also got
you're my pet.
We got Midnight City too in this episode. This episode did a lot of setting up little storylines. They set up many things.
Cool.
So they set up Darkwing and Midnight City.
Darkwing, Dark.
So Darkwing was the Batman stand-in in the team that got killed.
Yep.
And in this episode, Mark goes to Midnight City, which is essentially Gotham.
Yep.
And it's been cursed so that it's always midnight there, which is really cool. And
it's a fun way to, like, make fun of that entire side of comics and everything.
Also, they definitely took an angle with Mark, him kind of getting in touch with his Omni-Man side.
His Omni-Man. Yeah, so when he goes to the Shadowverse?
The Shadow Realm, yeah.
Yeah, when Darkwing Jr.
Did he set off someone's trap card?
Nah,
Yugi.
Pegasus.
The Shadow Realm.
Yeah, we go to the Shadow Realm. And Mark steps up the intimidation checks. He passes.
Really cool.
He does. He just like he's stepping into the shoes.
So to explain it for Brayden, Darkwing, or the guy's taken over Darkwing in
Darkwing
this episode.
Two.
Darkwing 2. He's got this ability to go to what's called the Shadowverse, where it's a whole different universe.
Cool.
But it's pitch black and you can just hear creatures.
Ooh.
And so he like grabs Mark and they go to the shadow, this dimension. And then in order to get out, Mark just grabs him. And he's like, you got to come with me, man. He's like, I've got you. You won't be able to make me let go. Take me out. And then he's just like, they'll eat us. And Mark's just like, they're not going to eat me first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, and he's like you said, I'm Omni-Man's son. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
Damn.
It's a real tense scene.
And that's a tough thing for Mark to just like say out loud too.
And
because he actively doesn't want to become his father. So for him to say things like that, it's like, ooh.
Well, exactly. A lot of the episode is people mentioning his father in front of him and then stopping.
Oh,
like
wow.
Them, as soon as they mention him, they just look at him and go, oh, fuck, sorry.
And I definitely thought that him kind of, you know, acting like his father a little bit, you know, playing a bit of bad cop, you know, we're thinking about that episode one when we heard that, like, most of the universes, he joined his dad. He didn't resist. And it's just like, I think it even has you as the viewer going like, wait a minute. He did join his dad. Most of those universes. Ooh.
There's a lot of his father in him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We also set up the Lizard League in this episode.
Oh my god, the Lizard League.
Very goofy, very fun. We'll see them later. Same with the Shapesmith, which is the Martian from the Mars episode in season one that snuck aboard and pretended to be one of the guys.
Yeah, so that was a great scene. When he explains how he became a superhero, and it's the fakest story ever.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I was at my job, and something happened, and I
was at my normal human job, and I fell in a vat of toxic waste. Then I've got powers. Now I'm here. Hi, like it was very like.
Hi, can I be part of the team?
Yeah, and they're just like, okay.
Okay.
That's fun.
I like Rex's reaction because in the scene where they meet him, he's because he can just turn into anyone because he's one of the Martians and the Martians can take any shape.
Yeah.
And so that he when they meet him, he's in the middle of fighting the Lizard League and he's as Rex. And Rex walks up to him. And Rex is like, "This better not be another clone of me." Like, he's just like, "I'm fucking sick of these clones of me."
That's great.
So yeah, he was really funny. It's Ben Schwartz playing Shapesmith.
Oh my god!
So
that's great. It's
great, and him just trying to fit in to be a human, like because he's a Martian trying to be a human, and like they're like, "Hey Russ," and he goes, "Hey Russ, good Russ." And he's like just so funny. Yep.
Eating the frozen pizza.
Eating the frozen pizza. grabbing the towels from the towel dispenser, but not knowing what to do with them.
yeah. He's just endlessly grabbing them.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's perfect casting for a character like that.
Yeah, they're really good, and they set up what's happening with the real Russ. What happened to him on Mars? Ooh. And more of that to come.
Nice.
And then just, you know, Donald, they finally address the Donald situation, half address.
A little bit.
They address that Donald doesn't even know what's happened to him.
Yeah, Donald doesn't seem to know that he died, which I thought I found interesting.
That's fine. Well,
very different from the comics.
Yeah.
Donald's fully aware what he's about in the comics, but, so that's going to be cool.
At the same time, finally someone in the show was like, "Oh, Donald. How are you fucking Debbie alive?"
Debbie was the only one that knew that Donald died. It was just her and Cecil watching that. So that was really smart to play it off like that.
That's fun.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think what else happened. We got Doc Seismi back. Oh, there was the great graduation part at the beginning where we see Mark at his graduation while he's also fighting Doc Seismi. And it's kind of a bit like the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yep, that opening
where he's fighting Rhino, but like quickly getting to the graduation.
Yep.
So they do that, and then they do the great comic panel where they all throw up their hats, but his goes up into space.
That's fun.
So that was great. And then they let the principal drop the Invincible title card, where it cracks and we see what they're going to do, which is a black and blue background, which is basically saying that we're going to get black and blue suit Invincible.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Good app. I liked it.
Very good. So I can understand if some people don't like it because it is just a lot of setup.
Yeah.
It's very akin to the Martian episode in season one or the college episode where it's like and also the title's great. It's called I'm about to lose my virginity to a fish in 6 hours. Or it's called In 6 hours I'm about to lose my virginity to a fish.
Incredible.
Which is a line from the comics and a title of the issues in the comics. So that's cool. They did that.
That's
even though they didn't actually follow that storyline.
No, I don't think they mentioned that. They just mentioned that it was a ceremony as well. They didn't mention that they had to consummate.
In the comics, he has to consummate. And she's there ready for it.
Okay.
And there's a whole storyline where it's the her right-hand man, who's like the head of her army, he's secretly in love with her, but he feels like he's a coward. He's like, "I'm just a common man. I can't be with the queen." So him and Invincible devise a plan because they still got the thing where Invincible's got to like fight a big monster and save her. So they devise a plan where like Invincible beats up the monster but makes it look like the other guy is the hero.
Oh my god.
And then they just start going at it and Invincible's like, "I'm getting out of here." So
goddamn.
That's how the story in the comic goes. It is one of the more bizarre. Which I like that they're kind of bringing in a bit of the bizarre into Invincible.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
God damn. So we have two more episodes and then that's a break?
Yes.
A big break, I hear.
It's like, where is it? Fuck. But it better not be a big break, man. How long, we waited, how many years? 2 years in between? It just says 2024. Fuck.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Oh, well, it'll be worth the wait. You've been watching a animated series that you would like to recommend.
What you do is when episode 2 of Invincible finishes, you go up to that search bar on Amazon Prime and you type in Pantheon. This is a very similar formatted show. We've got 8 episodes per season. It's animated in the same fashion. And we've got pretty good voice actors.
Cool.
Yeah. So Pantheon, how do I explain what Pantheon is without completely ruining the entire series? We're playing with AI in this one. Lots of AI questions. Okay,
the buzzword of 2023.
Exactly, but it's done a different way. So the idea of this show is that the AI that exists is they call it UI, which is confusing because they're not talking about user interface.
Yeah,
they're talking about uploaded intelligence.
Hmm.
So okay. we're uploading humans. But the thing is, in this, when we upload a human, when we scan their brain, they also have to destroy their brain.
Ooh.
So, you know, maybe we got some things going on with some evil companies. Maybe destroying some people's brains and uploading them to the internet.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Maybe there's some scientists volunteering to do it. You know. And you know, again, without ruining the entire show.
Yep.
There's basically two big companies that are doing this uploading AI, and one's in India, one's in America, and they each got their own intelligence going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we follow the daughter of one of these guys that may or may not have been uploaded. Yeah, you know, she just thinks he's dead, but suddenly she gets contacted by some mysterious chatbot. Maybe it's her dad. Maybe he's trapped on a evil company's mainframe and he needs help.
In the servers, man.
Exactly. And that's the main storyline. But there's also another one, which is really the really even cooler one, which, like, I can't really say anything about it without it, like, ruining it.
Okay. Okay.
Lots of twists in this one.
I like when you want to recommend something to someone, but you don't want to really, like, you just want to tell them how good it is and tell them to check it out because you don't want to ruin it, which is very fair. So based purely on that, I think it's worth people checking out.
Yeah.
So that sounds cool.
So we got this daughter and a dad, and then we also got this this other boy called Caspian, who's a hacker. And he's young.
From what I looked at before, that's Paul Dano.
That's Paul Dano, exactly.
Prince Caspian.
And he's a very cool character.
Prince
Caspian. And his story is very from Narnia. Yep. That's a line in the show also.
Oh my God, amazing.
Someone makes fun of him because the name's like from
that's
Narnia.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
And yeah.
I'm watching the show.
That got Alex.
He's in. So yeah, there's some really good humor, definitely. But it's definitely more so a lot of tech talk, a lot of philosophy going on. And yeah, there's a lot of jaw-dropping moments. Lots of twists in this one.
We like it. We like some twists.
Yeah.
Any turns?
There's some turns. Oh. There's some theoretical turns in the cyberverse, maybe.
Oh. That sentence made my brain hurt. Will I be able to survive this show?
I don't know. You know, maybe we got this AI and, you know, he gets uploaded against his will, right? And then basically this company has him in the computer, but in a simulated office repeating the same day of work. So he doesn't even know he's an AI. He just thinks he's a human going to work. And that's how they get him to continue to work infinitely day after day.
Ooh, that sounds like some Severance shit.
It does, doesn't it?
Ooh,
we like Severance.
That's a really cool, and this is all like episode one stuff. So don't worry. But
damn,
yeah. So that's one of the really cool storylines, and that's the Indian company. They've essentially got employees working, like,
without realizing like what they are.
Yeah, and it's not in real time, so they're doing like days every second, and they think they're a human going to work.
Oh,
which is a really cool angle. So that, you know what I mean? Without spoiling anything further, there's some really cool concepts. Very cool concepts.
The shenanigans?
There's shenanigans.
Ooh, I like shenanigans.
Yeah, who's I got the cast here? We got Ron Livingston. We know him.
Yep, he's from the film Office Space.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Eckhart. He's an older one. I know who he is because I'm looking at the pictures.
Yes.
He's a guy. We got Daniel Day Kim, which.
Yeah, I saw Daniel Day Kim.
He's in The Good Doctor, which is funny.
The Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor.
No, he was in. What's the other one?
Aaron Eckhart. Is he Harvey Dent?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I know who he is. I know that face.
Yeah.
I know who he is. I've seen half that face.
What I love is...
Seen half that face burn off.
Two of the voices that I... Well, one voice that I recognize so much from the show is Michael Kelly, who is House of Cards guy.
Oh,
never watched House of Cards.
He's kind of the main, like, one of the CIA guys in House of Cards. Well, not CIA. He's the, like, right-hand man.
Oh, I know this guy. This guy's in everything. This guy's just always, like... He's one of those guys that you see in a lot of movies, but, like...
Yeah.
You don't know the name of?
His just voice, in everything.
Very recognizable.
Like Brayden, you seen that guy? You know this guy, Brayden?
Oh, that guy!
Yeah, you know that guy.
Yeah, and he oh my God, he constantly plays government officials.
Yeah.
Anytime you need a government official, you get him and Richard Schiff.
He's in Man of Steel, he's in Chronicle. What else you want?
Oh, there's someone...
He's always...
I didn't even realize this guy's in it, but there's a guy from Silicon Valley in it. Alex, you would know him, because this guy fucks.
Which one? Oh, it's not Jared, is it?
No, it's the guy that says that.
Oh, yep.
The guy that this put radio on the internet.
Yeah, the guy, he's a three comma man.
Yeah, the Trace Comus man, isn't
it? He's a Trace Comus.
It was the Trace Comus.
This but guy plays literally, there's so many of his roles where the name of his character is Agent Last Name.
Yeah.
That's so good.
He's done his time on shitty NCIS stuff, probably.
That's great.
Hey, you guys heard that they've done NCIS Sydney now?
Oh, God.
Amazing. Amazing.
Oh, yeah. God. Are you going to check it out?
Nope.
Correct.
Not even a little bit.
Good. Very good. Yeah. Oh, bless. Well,
yeah.
Maybe if one of you watch it, we could talk about it more properly.
That you want I'll to watch ruining it. I always like movies. I've watched a few things.
You got for us, Alex?
Yeah, I watched some new. I watched a couple of things I'd never seen before.
Ooh,
as I do, with going on this journey of the randomizer.
The randomizer.
It gives me movies I haven't seen. The randomizer gave. It was a good week this week for the randomizer.
Nice. Got some good percentage out of it.
We did. We got maybe one movie, or they're all threes and above, out of fives. But maybe one of them was a bit more depressing than the others.
Oh,
we'll get there.
Okay. Depressing doesn't mean bad.
The Crow. I'd never seen The Crow before.
Depressing, just
yeah,
the
production.
And now I've seen The Crow, and I thought The Crow was awesome.
Yeah, did you start watching it, and you were like, "Am I watching AEW and the old wrestling?"
Nah, The Crow's sick, man. It was really, really it's got a style, all right. And for a movie where the main actor died, they've done a good job in making it a movie.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to cut around.
I think someone else was decapitated as well.
Oh, really? What the fuck?
Yeah, it was not a good time.
No, I know that he died, and the scene he died filming was actually the opening scene of the movie.
Oh.
Where, like, the break-in scene where all the robbers break in and kind of kill him and his girlfriend.
Oh.
Have you guys seen The Crow?
No.
No, I have not.
I have always heard
that.
It's like, good.
It's great. It's a lot of, it's got a style. You never watch a movie like it.
Okay, cool.
It's like if rock and roll and goth made him into a movie.
Yeah, that's cool.
So super cool. It's about a guy that dies, and a year later, on the anniversary of his death, he is resurrected to go after the people that killed him and his fiance.
Okay.
So,
man,
really
what a
cool.
Fitting film for someone to actually die. That's rough.
So he died because there was a bit of a bullet lodged in a gun when the blank was fired, and the blank gave enough to push that projectile out and pierce him.
Yeah. Pretty fucked up. That's
why. Yep. And guess why it happened? It's because the weapons master or whatever, the weapons handler, went home early that day and the gun wasn't checked.
Yep. That's what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn.
The randomizer also gave this rom-com, it was fine, about two Indian people. One of them played by the cab driver from Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the daughters from Blockers.
Okay.
And it's about them. They get put on an arranged date and it doesn't go well, but then suddenly COVID hits and they have to stay together for 7 days.
Oh.
They isolate together for 7 days.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was fine. It was a rom-com. It was cute. You saw everything come from a mile away.
Yeah.
Weird seeing COVID so prominent in a movie.
Yeah, that's
Which
I feel like there hasn't been again. Many.
Like next up, I really liked this next movie. It was very sweet, and this is the randomizer giving. And that is Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Oh, bless. Yeah.
Has anyone seen it?
He's a little sweetheart. I remember seeing the short back in the day.
Yeah. This thing's bloody adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I didn't realize it was a mockumentary.
yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for it. I never actually ended up watching the whole thing, but yeah. I remember seeing the trailer and I was just like, how did this get made?
I really, really liked it.
It looked good.
Next up, this is one that the randomizer did not pick and I just wanted to watch it. Dumb Money. This is the one about the GameStop stock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This has got Paul Dano, doesn't it?
Paul Dano, Seth Rogen, Anthony Ramos. It's got everyone in it. There's a lot of people in this movie. Wild. Let me click and get them all up here.
That's crazy.
Shailene Woodley, American Ferrera, Pete Davidson, Seth Rogen, Anthony Ramos, Nick Offerman, Sebastian Stan, Clancy Brown, Vincent D'Onofrio, Dane DeHaan.
That's so many people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie and you're following the guy that was on Wall Street stocks kind of saying he liked the stock. Yep. You follow him for most of the film, but then you also follow the hedge fund managers that kind of
freaking out
by it.
The criminals.
Which is very funny. Pardon?
The criminals.
Yeah.
The villains.
Well, yeah, you mainly follow Seth Rogen, who's the main one who kind of tries to devalue the stock. But it works against him when Reddit decide to band together and hold out.
Yeah, the people versus the machine.
Yeah, that's the whole thing of the movie. It's the people. It's like
power the
common
people.
Redditors. That's not how you say that.
Redditors.
But yeah, which they called themselves retards. That was the name of them in the movement.
Yeah.
Because this movie really represents Reddit really well.
definitely. if they even kept that in.
Yeah. So the movie represents Reddit as it should.
Yeah.
And then all the other actors that you recognize from there are kind of people who bought the stock and are waiting. Like you see the common person's perspective. Anthony Ramos plays a GameStop employee who buys some of the stock and then just holds out with it.
That's so fun.
You know what? As one of those inspired by a true story movies, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And then I'll talk about one more, which was I'll rewatch Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer's still the best movie ever.
Nice. You booked in some leave from work so that you had time to watch it.
No, that's Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes.
I watched The Fighter. Never seen The Fighter before.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Christian Bale, Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yeah.
Is it?
I've also never seen this, but I recognize the poster.
Yeah, this is based on a true story about two brothers from, I think, Boston.
Two bros.
One of them's like a has-been fighter who trains his younger brother, played by Mark Wahlberg. Mm. And Christian Bale's a crack addict in the movie. And that's a lot of it's about Christian Bale being a crack addict.
That's right. That's why I remember this movie, because it's when he got really physically fucked up for this film.
Not the one you're thinking of. The machinist is the one he got really fucked up for. This one he gets super duper skinny though.
Yeah.
Like not that level where like his skin is under his ribs.
Yeah.
but
pretty fucked up.
Yeah. He does not play a character I thought he was going to play in this movie.
Mm.
He plays a crack addict who's like talks out of his ass a lot, is like really kind of showboaty in that. And he was brilliant in the film. That's fairly against type. Yeah, I really did not expect Christian Bale to be act this way in this movie. And I thought he was brilliant. I realized the movie I gave it 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Really, really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorites that the randomizer has given us.
Very quickly from actors against type. I heard a good review on a podcast I was listening to of a new movie with Awkwafina and Sandra Oh.
Okay.
And the two of them are playing against type. So basically Sandra Oh is playing a character you would expect to be played by Awkwafina. And Awkwafina is playing a character you would expect to be played by Sandra Oh.
Awkwafina is annoying normally.
Yeah, I've I heard it was pretty good. And saying that they were playing against type, just reminded me of that. So if people want to seek that out, that might be worth checking out.
I don't even know how to spell Awkwafina's name, so I have to go search a movie I know she's in.
I think I also need to jump in and mention, I mentioned a show a few weeks ago called Station 11.
Oh, yes.
Which I did end up finishing. And I was having some issues with, I was kind of mid to late through the episodes. And I didn't really like some stuff that was going on. It finished excellently. Beautiful show. Okay. Beautiful show. Remember, this is the one that has the guy from Yesterday.
Yes.
Himesh Patel. Oh, amazing performance. Yeah, it came around. It definitely came around.
Cool. The one, we like when they
Alex might
going.
Not know about this one, but this is the one that's following three or four different timelines.
Well, I watched the episode.
Sorry?
I watched the episode.
The episode?
Alex, watch the podcast that we're making.
Oh, of course.
So you know this right now?
This is
right here?
Wait, this is a show? I thought we were just chatting.
Yeah, Chris doesn't know that we record him every week.
But yeah, this is the one about the few timelines of post-apocalyptic world, post-flu, one of which Himesh Patel is running around. And yeah, finish good. Good start. Good middle, good end. I highly recommend that one. Beautiful show. Lots of Shakespeare language, I think I mentioned.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. I'm always happy when a show lands on its feet.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Bless.
I found Awkwafina.
You did find Awkwafina?
Found her.
Where was she in? What film is this that she's in?
I looked under Ocean's 8. I don't know why it was the first one
that came
up.
That was the one you went with?
Not Crazy Rich Asians, Ocean 8.
Not the like one you think of. Or what was the other one? The with the family. Farewell. The Farewell. Do we have a name for this movie that I can't remember the name of?
Oh, you want me to
That's what I thought you were looking at.
No, I was just looking at Awkwafina.
Just looking at a photo of Awkwafina.
Quiz Lady is the name of the film.
What was it again?
Quiz Lady.
Quiz Lady, that's right, yes. Yep, because they're trying to win money on a show like Jeopardy. That's right.
Is Will Ferrell the host?
Yes. Because he does a very good, the Jeopardy host who passed away, he did a very good impression of him on SNL back in the day.
Very fun.
And with that, this show's landing on its feet. This has been episode 226 of M&T Millennial Movie Talk. You can follow us on your podcast
WWE
of choice.
War Games.
You can leave a review over there. Yes, I am excited for WWE War Games. I haven't caught up on any of the Raw or SmackDown stuff, but I see it every now and again on my Instagram, and it's been enjoyable. Did you see that comment, the comment section on that the clips from The Miz?
Mm-hmm.
He was just out of nowhere doing all this crazy shit. I've never seen him do shit like that before.
The Miz is back.
Yeah, he's like back with a vengeance.
Yeah, he's fighting Gunther for the championship.
All the comments being like, man, he needs rent. Like, he's trying to get his money out.
We got something coming out next week. Also, Napoleon hitting the cinemas.
Oh, Joaquin.
Yep, next Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Goddamn.
Get keen.
Going to be long, 2 and 20, I think.
Oh, I hope it's a long one. Not long enough.
I was going to say, that's nowhere near as long as I was expecting a film called Napoleon to be.
Are you okay with them doing full English accents as Napoleon all this?
Look, I love a French Napoleon, like, scolding his troops. But, you know, there's plenty of old movies of that I've managed to find.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad it's coming to the big screen, you know? I've always been a bit nappy crazy, and I want everyone else to be nappy crazy too. Maybe even Alex will be nappy crazy.
Oh, sorry. 2 hours and 38 minutes.
That's more reasonable for a film called Napoleon.
That's a bit more Napoleon.
Very
isn't it?
Curious to see what kind of timeline they fit into this movie. Very curious.
It's birth.
I think it's
going to
be all of it. I think they're looking.
I kind of hope they don't try and fit all of it. There's too much, Alex. There's way too much.
It's a childhood origin story.
Yeah, it ends as he gets the name Napoleon.
No,
like,
the thing is,
he's going through a checkout for the Empire, and they were just
he's
like
he's trying to sign up, and he only has
he's
one.
He's trying
name.
To sign up, and he's just like, "Oh, I've only got one name. It's Bonaparte."
We've got Waterloo. We've already got Waterloo with Christopher Plummer playing Wellington. Like, we've got a
I think
a
they're going to show us Waterloo.
We've got a great old epic there that doesn't need to be retrodden over. An excellent movie with like 100,000 extras or something.
Jesus.
Like, I think this one, they said that this one's going to focus a bit on his relationship with his wife.
Yeah, Empress Josephine. Yeah. Very cool woman.
She's played by a very attractive actress.
Very, very cool woman.
Oh, it's the person from, I did see this. Isn't it the person Mission Impossible?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't even want to know. I've still watched trailers, so I know is Wackens is Napoleon, and that's it.
Wackens!
Do you want to see this extremely attractive woman, though, Chris?
Yeah.
I'll save it for the film, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
She might not be Impossible. Attractive in the film because
her and Mission Impossible
are dirty, aren't they?
Insane.
Yeah, hopefully we get some raunchy scenes with them. I don't know if you've seen, a lot of the memes have gone around. One of them is one of Napoleon's letters to Josephine. And it essentially says, "I'll be home in 3 days. Don't wash."
God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Some Napoleon of that. Gets I've it. Been campaigning for 2 years and I'm back, sex.
Damn.
Don't wash.
So, don't wash.
Yeah, you know. I hope it's good. I'd hope they don't squeeze
I
too
want
much
your
in.
Natural musk.
We don't need to see Waterloo. We really don't. We've got.
They will.
We have an amazing epic of that. We're gonna see Austerlitz. So that's such a better, more epic battle than Waterloo. Napoleon loses. All right. We don't need to retread that ground. Okay.
Chris sounds like he's going crazy.
yeah.
Chris is on his soapbox right now.
Austerlitz better be good. I'm so excited.
You could be making these words up right now and I'd have no idea.
See, you will after next week.
That's it.
That's why I'm excited.
So keep your eyes and ears peeled for
I'm
going
to be very
man.
Disappointed if no one, if Chris is the only one that goes to see Napoleon.
I won't be shocked.
No, Alex is going because he's coming with me.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. I'm going to see Napoleon.
All right.
Well, Brayden, you and Michael can go.
Yeah, I'm sure Michael will be super down for that.
Yeah. Michael's played Napoleon Total War, I'm pretty sure. He'll know some of these words. He'll
recognize a word or two.
He could confirm
I'm not
making them
up. I think Michael has played
up.
Napoleon Total War.
I don't know if that is really Michael's game.
He's definitely played it, I think.
Chris is like, everyone plays Napoleon Total War, right?
Didn't everyone grow up playing Napoleon Total War?
A lot of
people
did.
Get up every morning.
Of all the
everyone gets up every morning. Plays the 2 hours of Hearts of Iron.
Yeah, it makes one turn.
Shout out to Hearts of Iron.
Shout out to Hearts of Iron. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 226 of Millennium Movie Talk. Subscribe, follow, review, all that crap. And as always,
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
I'm Christian.
And we're out of here. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.